reading today is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And it's on page 152, if you have a church Bible. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So, some of you will be aware, when I was 18, I went off and did a missions trip in Ghana, in West Africa, working in the downtown Accra with kids and youth. It was by far one of the most special things I've ever done. Had one of the most eye-opening experiences. And before I went, I had 2 months training in East Anglia, having to deal with kind of different things, different topics, but one of them was cultural change and dealing with what some of the shocks might be when I was out there. And it was a shock when I went out there, but actually I found it was more of a shock coming back to the UK. And I might share with you some of the shocks that I had. For example, why the roads were so flat. Why there weren't street sellers on every corner or at traffic lights selling things from mirrors to plantain chips. Why I had to wear a duvet on my bed at night. Why it wasn't 34 degrees in the middle of the summer and 18 degrees and pouring with rain in Manchester when I landed. Or why I had to wear a seatbelt in car journeys. All these things were things I had to deal with, and deal with change on, let's say, small perspective for things. But it took me probably a month to 2 months to get used to being back in the UK. And we have to deal with change on so many different levels, in so many different areas of our lives. Let me quickly pray as we begin. God, thank you that you are unchanging. And when we face periods of change or uncertainty in our own lives, that we can remember and look to you and the promises that you have given and trust in your unending word. Amen. Amen. Change is inevitable. Change can be uncomfortable, and we can see change in so many different areas of our lives. Change can be scary. Change can be a good thing. Change can make us trust God more. Change can make us feel rather overwhelmed. But change is a part of life. We may see change in our jobs, in our homes, in our families. We can have change in our living situations, change in our locations, and change in our roles. But how do we deal with change? Change can mean times of uncertainty, and how do we face that challenge? In the passage of Joshua, we kind of see what Joshua was going through, and probably he faced the biggest challenge of his life, and the biggest change of his life. Moses had now died, and the Israelites were in need of a new leader. God chose Joshua to be that new leader. And I'm sure Joshua was feeling probably rather overwhelmed and rather frightened with what God had called him to do. But as well as that, Joshua, there was a change in his role of what he was doing. He was promoted from Moses' aide, or Moses' assistant, to become the man in charge. So as well as change in leader, there was a change in job role for Joshua. On top of this, though, the Israelites had a change in leader. And a period of change where they saw Moses move on and Joshua take over. So I think there's much we can take from this passage to understand how they dealt with change and how, as us as Christians, how we deal with change, whether that be on a personal level or whether that be on a church level or whether that be on a corporate level. So to get everyone up to speed, what has happened so far? The Israelites have spent 40 years in the desert wandering around aimlessly. They were grumbling and moaning and wondering what was happening. What had gone wrong? But their lack of faith had ended them up in the desert rather than actually in the promised land. Moses, their leader, had died, and they were in an area of uncertainty, an area of change. And then God called Joshua. God called Joshua for a number of reasons. Although he lacked the qualification, he burst in experience. And God qualified him. There was no reason for him to say no. Although, if you look at Moses and when Moses was called, how many times did Moses say, no, actually, don't pick me, have someone else, I don't want to do this. But we don't see any of that with Joshua. As well as God appointing Joshua, he was one of two eyewitnesses that remembered and was alive during the plagues of Egypt. Joshua and Caleb were one of two spies that came back from scouting the area that had full confidence in God and trusted him no matter what. And Joshua had been Moses' aide for 40 years. And suddenly, he was the man in charge. But what big boots he had to fill. Moses led the people out of Egypt, out of the oppression of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He produced water out of rocks. He made bread fall out of the sky. But it was Moses' relationship with God which was what was most admirable. He twice spent 40 days and 40 nights in God's presence, not eating nor drinking. And he came off Mount Sinai and his face was glowing, so much that people were scared of the sight. How do you follow that? I think Joshua would have felt rather intimidated as he took over from Moses. It mentions in the passage that Rachel read to us, dependent on your version, 3 times, to be strong. God recognized that Joshua was probably feeling rather intimidated, rather overwhelmed with the whole situation. And I also wonder, maybe, how did the Israelites feel as this was all going on in front of them, seeing Joshua finally take over the reins from Moses? First of all, they had to not focus on the past, but look to the future and what God had set in front of them. During times of change, we can remember the past and remember how faithful God has been in the past, but not to fantasize over the past and see what new adventures God has set in front of us. As mentioned, I work for a few different churches, and there was one church I used to be involved with, which was struggling to see new members in, was struggling to see new people turn up to the church. And as I said, if you looked around the church, there was just a sea of white and grey hair, which has its benefits. But they were also struggling to see any new people turn up to the church. But they kept coming back and saying, remember what it used to be like a few years ago when we had all those people coming in? Remember what it used to be like and when we had those families and it was bristling like that? And I was saying that that's great and we can remember God's faithfulness. But what about the future? What about 5 years' time? What about 10 years' time? What has God got in front of us? What are we expecting to see from God? I know many of you are probably far more well-educated than me on the topic of the Welsh Revival, but I have a theory, and I wonder whether the Welsh Revival stopped happening because they remembered what God had done in the past, but weren't willing to think 5 years down the line what God might be doing, or 10 years down the line. Joshua stuck with Moses, and God was preparing him to take his place. But there was an aura of uncertainty. What had been normal with Moses might now be different with Joshua. Joshua wasn't a young man. He'd been Moses' aide for 40 years. He didn't need to use a CV very often, did he? But Joshua had been faithful to Moses and his work. But suddenly, Joshua was the man in charge. And he was in charge of more than 2 million people. Imagine having that on your CV and take that into... Imagine what the job spec might have been for that job. But every new job has its challenges. But without God, it can be frightening. But with God, it's an adventure. We can so easily get caught up in the past and miss what God is doing in the now. The Israelites had the choice to make whether to listen or to ignore Joshua. And they chose, as I said, if you read on from this passage in verse 16 and 70, they said this. Oh, I've gone too far. They answered Joshua, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." They could have ignored him, but they remembered God's promise and looked ahead rather than looking behind. We've been called by God to press on ahead. Not looking behind, remembering God's faithfulness, but also looking in promise to see what God has set in front of us. Let's not live in the past. The past is nothing compared to what God is going to do in the future. God was preparing Joshua, giving him a little so he wouldn't be shocked when he was given a lot. In Luke 16, verse 10, it says this: If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. As Joshua was Moses' assistant, he was faithful in the small things. Those small things then blossomed into something greater. Small things lead to big things. God was already preparing Joshua to do these big tasks. God knew that Joshua was going to take over the reins from Moses. And in a church or a corporate setting, if there is change, if it is smooth and the transition is good, with clear guidelines and training, it will then be far easier. And that was the case for Joshua. It's important to think ahead when in leadership. We're all encouraged when you find a good leader who is thinking ahead, stirred to move on, and believes the task can be done. New leadership can be a good thing, as it brings new perspective, new ideas, new faces, and possibly added context. But they continually need the support of others. Moses had Joshua and had other people. Joshua initially had the high priests. Whether this be from a church situation or a personal one, we need God's guidance and God's direction so we can follow his call. The Israelites, through Moses and then Joshua, knew what promises they were given. The promised land, as it says in its title, was a promise from God. The ultimate promise to the Israelites. And that was their deep hope. So what I thought as a bit of a brain break, just in this middle point, that we could brainstorm. Actually, my wife said I can't use the word brainstorm. That's apparently not PC anymore, so it's called a thought shower. So I thought we could have a thought shower about what promises has God given to us. So does anyone have any ideas, whether that be what's written in the Bible or what's given maybe as a promise to yourself? Yeah, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Anything else? I'll give you rest. How we all need that. I have prepared a place for you. It's promised to guide us, yep. Take us to heaven. Is that someone at the back? Yeah. Nothing will separate you from my love. Yes. There's so many things we can remember and the promises that God has almost scattered across his word. God made a great promise to Joshua, and as I said, I know it's one of the most famous verses in scripture, verses 9. But he says in verses 5, 6 and 9 that Joshua isn't alone, that he doesn't need to be frightened, that God will be with him wherever he goes, and to be strong and courageous. All these things aren't just promises to Joshua, they're promises to us. Do you know that God will be with you wherever you go? Do you know when life changes and things might become tough, that God commands you to be strong and commands you to be courageous? It does take a lot of faith though, doesn't it, to believe those things and put those things into action. I don't know whether you ever heard of a man named Charles Blondin, who was a tightrope walker. Charles Blondin did some amazing things. He walked over a tightrope and cooked an egg on a frying pan. He carried someone over. He did things on stilts. Pretty crazy things that he was doing. He set up a tightrope across the Niagara Falls from one end to another and started going through his different skills and different repertoire of different things. And then suddenly, as a huge crowd was watching him, and the Duke of England was there to watch him as well, he got a wheelbarrow and pushed a wheelbarrow from one side to the other. And then he filled up the wheelbarrow full of potatoes and then pushed it back. And he looked at the crowd and said, "Does anyone trust me? Do you think I can take a person across in this wheelbarrow?" And the crowd looked at him and said, "Yes, of course they can." And so he looked at the Duke of England and he said, "Well, hop in then." And the Duke of England, looking scared and worried, said, "Well, okay, actually, maybe not. I can't do that." And he said to the crowd, "Who trusts me? Does anyone trust me to get into the wheelbarrow?" In fact, no one was doing it. Until a few minutes later, this old lady came out of the crowd, sat in the wheelbarrow, and Charles Blondin pushed along. That woman was his mother. And I think it's just a reminder of how we have, like, his mum trusted in him. And we have a Heavenly Father that we can trust in so many more times. Sometimes that we don't fully see that she knew the risks, she knew what could have happened. And we know the risks of life that we face and the struggles, but we know a greater God. Trusting in someone or something is hard, but that is the life of a Christian. Facing the uncomfortable and fighting it to have hope. Faith has the ability to override the facts, even when it seems most unlikely. Whilst you have a period of uncertainty, we can find certainty in God. We need to trust God through all. Having faith will mean, it doesn't mean it's always going to be full of sunshine and full of smiles, but to have the rain, you have to appreciate the rainbow. As Joshua was listening to God and God was speaking to him by saying, "Be strong, be courageous," reminding him that he wouldn't be alone. And how I could do with a bit of that. It's like when you're facing the storms of life and things are so difficult. It's a whisper in the storm saying, "It will be okay." Unlike Joshua, we won't be conquering nations. Well, I don't know. I'm not. I don't know whether anyone else is trying to conquer nations. But we will be faced with life's challenges. And we'll have to trust God through that to help us to conquer these challenges. But faith is also linked to obedience. Joshua was obedient to God and listened and obeyed what he said. Because faith and obedience brings God's victory. Unbelief and disobedience brought tragedy. And that was the pattern of the Israelites as they went continually round in circles. God goes before us and knows what is going to happen. A very well-known verse is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God knows the future. It's a future for good and hopefulness. And that is to fulfill his mission here on earth. When we face a period of uncertainty, we can rely on the promise that God already knows what's going to happen, and he is for us, not against us. Corrie ten Boom put it this way: never be afraid to trust an unknown God, the unknown future to a known God. Having faith in our chaotic lives, where things are changing, is one of the most difficult things, but God reminds us that he's standing beside us. God wants us to put his promises into effect. And if you're reading Joshua at this moment in time, I do apologise. I'm going to think straight on to the end of Joshua. At age 110, Joshua said these words: "Not one of God's promises went unfulfilled." He can look back and say that at age 110, unlike the scared leader he was taken over from Moses, maybe if he saw himself at age 110, maybe things would have been different. But don't limit God's work in our lives by underestimating him. The wilderness is never where God wants us to be. It's not our permanent destination. During times of uncertainty or change, it can seem like nothing's happening. It can seem like we're in limbo. We can see, where is God? What's happening? But God is preparing you. God doesn't forget his people. He made a way and wants to give us a brand new start, a brand new purpose. He's never too tired. He's never too busy. God is almighty and powerful, but cares for us just as much. We will never fully understand or fully comprehend how much God loves us and wants to take care of us and wants the best for us. Joshua was obedient in the way that he trusted God's law and God's word. Just as Moses was, Joshua told to carefully meditate and obey the book of the law. Meditate on it day and night, so it is always on your lips. That is the same for us, to meditate on God's word, so that's what comes out of our mouths. Joshua would have known God's law as he followed Moses and was Moses' assistant. But it's much more difficult to know that in your thoughts, to know that in your mouth with the words you use, and to know that in your actions. My dad spoke earlier in the Bible Bites, when the children were around, that we can use words to either build up others or to push others down. During times of change, it can be so difficult to use words that are helpful to others. And we know other people that might be during times of change. So actually we need to look to God's word to speak words of life to people. Our words are so powerful. So when people are facing times of change, let's use words to build them up. And if you're in a period of change at this moment in time, look to God's word for the truth that Jesus said. Courageous faith finds life in the word of God. And Joshua's name means to save, or the Lord is my salvation. Joshua was the one to bring the Israelites to the promised land that they were longly awaiting. Joshua was the source of hope for the Israelites, just as Jesus Christ is ours. Whatever good thing we receive, it is from Christ. Joshua had to go through that period of change to realize and to see God bring him and God's people into the promised land, to bring them where he wanted them to be. And this is the same today as it is then. Acts 6 saw God's people, saw the church first form, and they saw a massive change. And the change that so happened saw the church grow. And as it grew, the message of the gospel spread. which is ultimately our aim. So let us embrace the challenge of change. We shouldn't try to put it off if that is what God is wanting to do in our lives. The change may be the stepping stone in seeing growth. John Maxwell put it this way: change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Let us focus our eyes on God, listening and obeying his will for guidance and direction, and this will give us our purpose. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes change is difficult. But what is holding us back? If you're already a Christian, when you met God, you changed. Is it desire? Are we unwilling to hand things over to God? Or are we waiting for God's calling, his right time? Or is it fear? Are we afraid of change? God has a plan for everything. I want you to imagine a hungry caterpillar. And as the caterpillar goes about its day, it eats, and it eats lots, said my sort of person, or sort of caterpillar. Goes round, filling its mouth, eating, growing as it does. And suddenly, the caterpillar decides to stop and to starve itself. And after it starves itself, it decides to hang upside down. Maybe not my sort of person. And as it does that, it starts to digest itself. So that a small case round itself starts to happen, almost and envelops itself with a small lining. And during its time, it's in this, let's call it a cocoon. It's in this cocoon. And things start to change in the cocoon. But I'm sure at this time, the caterpillar's going, what is going on? Why are these things happening? What is happening here? And after a few days, and a few times after some time in change, this amazing butterfly appears and comes out of the cocoon. That is what God wants to do with our lives. The caterpillar didn't understand what was going on. It just went by its own business, doing each little step. But that's what God wants to do with our lives and turn them into something amazing and special for his glory. But how do we approach change? Is it something we run from, or is it something we run towards to enable the potential for growth? There's one pastor that put it this way. He had been away for some time, and he was going back to pick up his children from grandma's house. And as he was there, the door closed, and he could hear small little feet running down towards him. The first person to reach him was his soon-to-be-year-old four-year-old, whose name was Alex. He was running and jumping, saying, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home." And he ran to meet him with his arms wrapped around his legs and held him tightly. Pastor bent down and told him how much he loved him and how much he missed him. He gave him a kiss, and then the little boy went back on his adventures. Some approach church like this. They come to see their father, give him a hug, and then they're off to do the next thing. Following closely was Anthony, my 17-month-old. He filled the house with dada, 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 dada. As he looked up at his father, he put his hand in the air in a sign to pick him up. And the toddler held his face closely and looked into his eyes for a moment. He patted his face and kissed him just like a toddler would. The squirming that followed said that their special moment was over. And the flash in his eye had gone. Some approach God like this. They are glad to see him, but other things grab their attention. Austin, my five-year-old, was nowhere to be seen. Searched the house, tried to find him. Went into his room, and he was alone there, sat with tears rolling down his face. He had done something he knew was wrong and was fearing the worst upon my arrival home. As he talked about what had happened, he started to cry uncontrollably, saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I felt as if I couldn't pick him up fast enough. I hugged him and kissed him and repeatedly told him that I forgave him and would always love him, no matter what. In no time, they were playing and laughing together. From the story I told you, we're all in different positions, and that is absolutely fine. The Father treats us in the way that we need. Joshua was vulnerable with God. This showed his weakness and that he needed the encouragement of others. Just like Joshua, change is uncomfortable. And we need the encouragement of one another. But just like Joshua, we should be bold for God. Fred DeVito put it this way. Oh, it's up there. If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. It isn't promised to be easy for us. And change can be difficult. Really difficult at times. But God promised that he would be with us. And he wouldn't forsake us. God expects change in all of us. He expects change for the church as well. He tells us to be strong and courageous. And I thought I'd finish by reading. I nearly preached on this, but it's a promise from God. It's found in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 21. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. This is a promise from God, whether we're in the desert, the dry wastelands, or the river. He is preparing you for something amazing as you are facing a time of change. But will you allow God to use you for his glory? Amen. I thought to finish off our time of worship together, we'll sing, Great Are You, Lord.